In verse 5 of chapter 3 of the Song of Solomon, the lady is addressing the daughters of Jerusalem. She is giving them a warning. She is charging them concerning the dangers of premature love. She is telling them of the power of love, both to build and to destroy. And she says to them, by the gazelles and by the does of the field, do not stir up nor awaken love until it pleases. And as she is addressing them, suddenly in the horizon, she notices what appears to be a plume of smoke. She looks closer and she finds that it is the dust of a chariot that is approaching from the deserts outside Jerusalem. And she begins to squint her eyes. She begins to train them. And she says, behold, it is Solomon's chariot with 60 valiant men around it of the most valiant of Israel. And so as she sees that column of smoke, as she sees the dust in the air, she begins to see. And then she begins to smell the fragrance of Solomon. And as she begins to see and to smell him, she recognizes that it is Solomon himself. There is the air of excitement that is in verse 6. And then at the beginning of verse 7 when she says, this is the sedan chair. This is the royal throne, the transporting royal throne of Solomon. And she is excited by it all. And as she continues to look at this chariot, she says in verse 7, that this chariot is surrounded by 60 valiant men, and they are the most valiant men of Israel. They are girded with sword, and they are men who are experienced in using it. We have seen previously that the man had invited this lady into marriage. The lady herself has accepted this invitation. And in the Jewish culture, they were first betrothed. And then they waited for a period of time before there was the wedding ceremony. And for the wedding ceremony, the bridegroom traveled from his own house until he arrived at the house of the bride. And he did not travel alone. He was accompanied by a great party who came with him. And so there was in this story here the excitement of the wedding day. But there is also the grandeur of the wedding. There is the excitement, but there is also the grandeur. These men who were accompanying King Solomon, they were not the ordinary men of Israel. They were the finest of men. They were the greatest of warriors. And they were decorated soldiers of the army of King Solomon. And here clothed in their finest garments, here armed with the swords of their honor, they accompanied the king on the day of his wedding. The picture of the wedding here begins with excitement. it is followed by grandeur. And then in verse 9, it is followed by splendor. Of the wood of Lebanon, Solomon the king made himself a chariot. He made its pillars of silver, its support of gold, its seat of purple, its interior paved with love by the daughters of Jerusalem. This sedan chair or chariot that contained Solomon was made by him, and it was the finest chariot of its time because it was made from the finest wood from Lebanon. Its pillars were made of the finest metal of silver and of gold. And the seat within the couch where the king and his bride were to be seated was made of the finest purple, the one that was most expensive because it was most exclusive. And this was the clothing of royalty. And this was Solomon's couch. And this was Solomon's couch for Solomon's bride. The picture is one of excitement, of grandeur, of splendor. But there is also the tone of love. For at the end of verse 10, we are told that the interior of that carriage is paved or embroidered with love. And it was embroidered with love by the daughters of Jerusalem. Now we don't know exactly what this refers to. Perhaps it was a work of art within this chariot, but it was made by the daughters of Jerusalem, these ladies who were the subjects of Solomon's kingdom. But they were not just made by them. They were made by them with love for the king. The picture of the wedding here then is marked by excitement, by grandeur, by splendor, by love, and then in verse 11 by glory. Go forth, she says to the daughters of Jerusalem. Go forth, O daughters of Zion, and see King Solomon with the crown with which his mother crowned him on the day of his espousals. This is a real king. This is a real king with a real kingdom and a real crown. This is a real king who was crowned by a real and genuine queen. It was his mother who crowned him, and he approaches the house of the bride with that crown of crowning upon his head. There was magnificence, a certain radiance about it all. And this was proof that this is the true king. This is the one with the true crown. The picture of excitement, of grandeur, of splendor, of love, of glory. And finally, at the end of verse 11, there was also the joy of the wedding, the day of the gladness of his heart. What wedding is there without mirth, without gladness, without rejoicing? And Solomon so loved his bride that on the day he was espoused to her, when the day he was betrothed and committed to her, that day his heart rejoiced, and on this day of the consummation of that marriage, his heart was rejoicing still. What we have here then, I think, is a portrait of marriage. It is that of excitement, of grandeur, of splendor, of glory, of love, and of joy. What has all this got to do with us in the Reformed Presbyterian Church in Scotland today? Let me make just two applications. The first is this. As I began to meditate upon the picture of marriage and of the wedding that Holy Scripture gives to us here, I began to realize that after all these many years, I am ashamed that when I got married, I did not know what marriage was and is. We think of excitement. We think of the grandeur and the splendor of it. But the grandeur and the splendor is there because marriage is an institution ordained by God. It is He who made the man and the woman. It is He who united them in marriage. It is He who presided over the first wedding in the Garden of Eden. If marriage and the wedding has beauty in it, it is because of the beautiful God who gave it to us. The grandeur, the splendor, the love, the joy, and the glory, and the substance of it all. And whatever our relationship might be with our spouses, with our children, with our parents, maybe we need, by the grace of God, to discover the beauty of relationships, the beauty of our connections, and the wonder and the sheer magnificence of our commitments to each other. But there is also something more, something far more important. You see, with all human marriages and weddings, there may be the excitement, but the excitement does not last. There may be the grandeur and the splendor, but they begin to dim. There is the love and the joy, but they begin to wane. We think of glory, and it begins to fail also. What began with so much promise so often fails to deliver. And the sweetness that we were expecting brings us only bitterness at the end. Our relationships give way, our commitments break. And sometimes, even when we nurse the hope of the wedding and the marriage, it does not seem to come to us. But what does this passage say to us with all these feelings? Well, does it not remind us that all human weddings point us to that ultimate wedding of the Lamb of God? You see, wedding is not a human idea. It is not an invention or an innovation of the human race. It was given by God, and it is an emblem, a signature of the wedding of the Lamb of God. And so we read in Revelation chapter 19, that at the end of time and of history, at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, sin will be permanently removed from God's people. Satan will be crushed, and his demonic kingdom will be permanently and eternally destroyed. On that day, Jesus Christ would return for his people. And his people who are called the church will be the bride. And the bridegroom will be united with the bride. Now he has been betrothed to her. Now she is committed to him. But like as in the Jewish culture, there was a time that divided the betrothal and the consummation of the wedding. So there is now in these last days an intervening period between the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, between his first coming and his second coming. And the church is the bride that is being prepared for him. And he, the bridegroom, is waiting in heaven. And on that final day, when the trumpet shall sound and the angels from heaven shall descend with all of the host of heaven, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, will descend from heaven himself. And what is the glory of Solomon when it is compared to the glory of the King of Heaven, when he comes with his angels and he comes from heaven to the house of his bride to receive them to himself? There is a wedding. There is a wedding that awaits every person who is a child of God. Man and women, boys and girls, those who have committed their lives to him, he is committed to them. He has paid the price for their hand in marriage. He died and he rose for them. He gave his life for his church. And now he waits to return, to come and gather his people to himself. And that day will be exciting. And Jesus speaks of it as coming so suddenly, as a thief in the night. It will be full of grandeur. It will be full of splendor. It will be marked by love for him in his people and for his people in him. It will be a day of joy. It will be the day of glory. The day of glory, because God will be beheld in his glory. And you and I, dead or alive, you and I will be glorified with him. And so Jesus Christ looks at his disciples and he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come back, so that where I am, there you may be also." Sometimes we look at our lives, we look at ourselves, and we are disappointed because our hopes have perished. Our dreams have been shattered. But do not fear. Marriage is not only for the here and now. The ultimate wedding is between Christ and his church. Everything else is only a dim foretaste of the glory that is to come. But does it mean that in this world we will have no respite? Does it mean that our troubles and our trials and our temptations will have to be unmitigated? No. The wedding and the consummation of this relationship, its fullness and its perfection, has to await the second coming of Jesus Christ. But you know, do you not, that He even now is already betrothed to you. He has come to you. He has asked of you in marriage. And if you have committed yourself to Him, then you know that, like the ancient Jewish culture, He has paid the price for your hand in marriage. He did it on that cruel cross at Calvary. And so He says to you and to me, if we are Christians, that even today in this life in a fallen universe, when you and I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that you and I are not alone, that He is with us, and that His rod and His staff, they comfort us. And yes, it is that even in this life, with all its troubles and its hardships, when you and I are besieged by enemies, when you and I are constantly assaulted by demonic forces, He says to you and me that even in this wilderness of sin and life, He will spread a table before us in the presence of our enemies, and He will anoint your head and my head with oil. Sir, madam, you and I are a betrothed people. You and I have the King of Glory from heaven as our bridegroom. He is valiant to defend us. He is there to protect us. And His right hand will yet save us. May God bless His word to our hearts. We conclude by singing from Psalm 23. Psalm 23. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie. In pastures green He leadeth me, the quiet waters by. My soul He doth restore again, and me to walk doth make, within the paths of righteousness, even for His own name's sake. Yea, though I walk in death's dark vale, yet will I fear none ill, for Thou art with me and Thy rod and staff me comfort still. My table Thou hast furnished in presence of my foes. My head Thou dost with oil anoint, and my cup overflows. Goodness and mercy all my life shall surely follow me. And know this, at the end of the marriage supper, and in God's house forevermore, my dwelling place shall be. The bride will forever be in the house of the bridegroom. Psalm 23, and we stand to sing to God's praise.
The Lord's my shepherd.
Harmed in our relationships. It has left us bruised and traumatized. But we thank Thee that there is one who never hurts, the one whose love is always sweet, the one who never gives up, the one who never harms, the one who never breaks our hearts, the one who keeps us in life, watches over us in death, and receives us into glory. Give to us then an anticipation of the supper of the Lamb of God. Give to us a desire to be there at the wedding of Christ and His Church. And graciously grant, O God, that we would be part of that multitude that no man can number. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.